Welcome to Our Life in Transition. Listener discretion is advised. This podcast deals with issues about LGBT families and trans-specific topics. We would love to hear from you and welcome your questions and comments. However, we will not tolerate any discriminatory language or hate speech. So please, just don't do it. Enjoy the show. We can disagree on opinions. Yes, how should we go about raising taxes and financing programs? That's something to have a difference of opinion on. That's fine. That's politics. That's legislating. Absolutely not a problem with that whatsoever. Human rights are not up for debate.
Yeah.
And the fact that that's what we're fighting for, that's what we're working with, that's what the conversation is a problem. Because this isn't normal.
No.
So don't pretend that it is.
When we were kids, we met at camp.
After college, we got married.
10 years later, we finally had a baby.
That same year, I came out as trans.
This is the story of our journey.
Through marriage,
parenting,
gender,
and all the changes that life brings.
This is
Our Life in Transition.
Hi.
Hello, everyone.
My name is Shannon.
And I'm Rachel.
And welcome to another delightful episode of
Our Life in Transition. We still got it.
Yeah, we do. Good job. High five. It's been a minute.
Yes, it has. We're still alive.
It's been almost a year.
Well.
When was the last episode? August?
I don't know. But things have been difficult.
Yeah. We made lots of promises. We're like, we're going to do, you know, coffee breaks and talk about different things.
But life, people.
Yeah, life. Speaking of life, you may remember from last season, we discussed that our dog Miranda moved on and left us. So you may notice some jingling in the background. And that's our new dog.
Yes. Bindi is our new crazy puppy dog, and we love her very much.
How much larger would you say she is than Miranda? She's like, I don't know, 4 or 5 pounds.
She's probably 3 times the size of Miranda.
See, here's the thing. Same thing happened with Miranda, though. They told us that she was one breed.
We were lied to.
And we were lied to again. They were like, oh, this is a beagle. And what is she? She's a...
She's a foxhound.
Golden Retriever.
Foxhound. Foxhound. Lab.
Yeah, lab.
Pit. She's a little tiny itty bitty bit beagle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But she's...
There is a little beagle in there. They weren't wrong. There's some.
Yeah.
She's part beagle.
She's the teeniest, tiniest bit of beagle.
So, anyway, you'll probably hear jingling and shuffling and, yeah.
Oh, we'll edit out all of me screaming at her to chill out.
Don't scream too loud, because I don't want my eardrums blown out.
I'm not going to blow out your eardrums. Okay. I just, you know.
See, now she walked out of the room, and I don't know what she's doing, and I'm concerned. Now she's back. Okay.
Anywho.
You've got your coffee?
I have my coffee and my cookie.
Good. I've got orange juice today, and I'm hitting the microphone. We still got it.
Mm-hmm. Just like always.
So, what do you want to talk about today, Rachel?
The world is a dumpster fire.
Yep. Which, I mean, I have to say, if nothing else, our extended absence has given us content.
This is true.
So, I mean, let's talk about that.
The Supreme Court can go right to hell.
Yes. Please. We invite you to go fuck yourselves.
Yes. So I'm sure everybody has heard about Roe being overturned.
Yeah. I mean, by the time you get this episode, it'll probably be a week after it happened. We're recording this on the Tuesday afterwards. So it's been a hell of a weekend.
Yes.
There's been a lot of anger. Fair amount of crying, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But it's...
Isn't that sad? I'm just freaking pissed.
Yeah, it's hard to put into words just how... Not unexpected. Not unexpected.
It wasn't unexpected.
If you've been paying attention in the slightest, nothing that has happened has been unexpected, but it's infuriating.
And what's even more infuriating is that they, like, didn't even hesitate. Like, Thomas's concurrence.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, let's just go back and relitigate everything.
Yeah.
Except loving.
Yeah. Interesting. Which, we'll talk about that too. So, in his concurring opinion, Justice Clarence Thomas invited people to bring cases relitigating Griswold, Lawrence, and Obergefell, which respectively is the right to contraception, the right to same-sex relationships, and the right to same-sex marriage. So,
yeah,
you know, it's they're just saying the quiet part out loud now. And that's the thing. And, you know, President Obama had tweeted something about how disappointing and, blah, 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 you know, normal what you would expect him to tweet out about it. And then, you know, Senator John Cornyn was like, now do Plessy versus Ferguson and Brown versus Board of Education. Talk about how disappointing that overturn was.
Yeah. Which, I mean, if people don't know, that was desegregation.
And a lot of people are looking at this as if it is like a one-off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just not connected to anything. It's like, Oh, this is just a terrible thing. They got rid of Roe. This is part of, like, a 50-plus year program by the right to undo every single progressive achievement from the 20th century.
And it's going to embolden the, like it hasn't already, it's going to further embolden the right who are waging this culture war. And especially conservative far-right evangelicals who want to turn America into a theocracy.
The thing is, everything that is going on, all of the program, is part of a movement in order to regain power and place it in the hands of white, cisgender, heterosexual men. Period.
Mm-hmm.
When you start saying that, people are like, oh, buzzwords. And, oh, that's, you know, you're saying a bunch of stuff that's conspiracy theater. It's not.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, for years, people have been saying that. I've been saying that. We've been saying that.
It's not conspiracy theory talk when they're saying it.
Yeah.
They're saying it. Like.
The one congressman who was at a rally with Orange Julius over the weekend just literally just said thank you to him for getting those nominees on the Supreme Court and what a victory it was for white life. And then people immediately jumped, oh, she misspoke. She's gaffe prone. That's not a fucking gaffe.
No.
And I'm so tired of hearing people make these excuses.
And I could see that maybe it was a gaffe if, like, last year she hadn't been quoting Hitler and saying that, you know, Hitler got stuff right.
Exactly.
So, I mean,
when you're up close to everything, it seems like they're disparate, separate occurrences. And it seems like, oh, there's a lot of different things all happening at once, and how do we manage it? But when you actually, like, kind of stand back and look at it as a whole, Roe getting overturned, the insurrection, the violence during the protests 2 years ago, all of the anti-LGBT movements, the idiots with their polo shirts and tiki torches screaming, Jews will not replace us, is all part of this insane replacement theory on the right that is terrified of losing power to brown people, queer people, and women.
Yes. Or just a bunch of scaredy cats.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, they're scary cats with
power.
With power and
unfortunately.
Guns.
That's why they have the guns, because they're scary cats.
And I mean, and speaking of the court, I mean, they've been on a tear lately. Just kind of like eviscerating
all
of our civil rights.
I mean, you know, one of the first ones a couple weeks ago, which was just absolutely delightfully cute, was a case about Border Patrol, where they just ruled that Border Patrol can operate basically without any oversight within their 100 miles of the border. And which basically, I mean, that's 2/3 of the population of the country, because most people live along the coast in the coastal states. So it's like, it's like the entirety of New Jersey into Pennsylvania, like most of Alaska, like it's all of Hawaii. Like, and it's,
they can just do what they want.
They can just do and whatever they want. Yeah. They don't have to have a warrant. They can just come in and operate as they see fit, because it's quote unquote national security.
Kind of sounds like the SS to me.
Slightly. And I mean, Border Patrol's been operating like the secret police for a while. I mean, like, it's completely out of people's heads about the kids in the cages. Like, did you forget about that? Because that was Border Patrol. And having a police force that doesn't have to abide by your Fourth Amendment rights kind of flies in the face of you having that written in the Constitution.
Yeah.
I mean, along those same lines, they also last week just said that, now a lot of people are getting this wrong. They didn't say, you don't have Miranda rights. You still have Miranda rights. And if you can prove in court that your Miranda rights were violated, that could throw out your case if you were arrested and tried. However, you have no rights to sue for your Miranda rights being violated, which is going to incentivize the police to just say, fuck all, to reading your Miranda rights. What are you going to do about it? Good luck proving that we didn't read them. That happens now. But now it's just, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you
can
do.
You have no recourse. Except maybe to get your thing overturned.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
After if you can prove it. After you get convicted and go to jail.
And just, you know, on top of that also, they just said, yeah, so any legislation, you know, in the states that, you know, say you can't have concealed carry, just fuck that. You can carry a gun wherever you want. But maybe there's some sensitive places, like, you know, around the Supreme Court. But, like,
outside their homes.
Outside their homes. But they just left that undefined, and they invite more cases to figure that out later. So it's just, they're just, like, undermining everything. And just going, let's just have the Wild West. That works out fine.
Yeah.
That works out fine.
Yeah, we're doing great with the Wild West. Great.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
It's overwhelming, and I think to some extent that's the point, is if you're overwhelmed and everything's happening everywhere all at once, how are you supposed to fight it? And I think that's what they're banking on.
And also, you know, nobody's going to do any, none of the legislators are going to do anything controversial.
Yeah.
Because it's
midterm,
so who's going to do anything?
Well, exactly. And we'll get to how useless fucking Congress is in a little bit, but, you know, standing on the steps of the Capitol, singing God Bless America while protesters are screaming and crying because they just lost their rights across the street at the Supreme Court doesn't really do jack shit, except show how incompetent and useless you are.
It's tone deaf and entirely wrong. Like, nobody wants to hear that when their rights are being taken away.
And speaking of Congress and their inability to really do much, I mean, the January 6th hearings have been happening.
Yeah.
Which you might have forgotten since, you know, SCOTUS has just been rocking and rolling, taking your rights away.
I'm interested to see what's going on tonight.
So is this the last one?
No. They were supposed to have more. They were supposed to take a month-long hiatus to go through stuff that had just, they had just received from Trump and et cetera and so forth. And they just announced that tonight they're going to, they have stuff to deal with tonight. So I'm interested to see what they've got. Cause they got a whole bunch of, they have a document dump that's coming, the first week of July from the National Archives in answer to one of their subpoenas.
They're fun.
But there's this, British guy who was doing a documentary.
Yeah, the guy that was embedded with the Proud Boys?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he also was, apparently, around, Trump and the family before and after. So there's a lot of stuff to go over with that too. So interesting.
And unfortunately, it's like it's been hard to keep up with what's going on. I know like 20 million people watched the first night. I watched the first night. I watched a little bit here and there throughout the week, but it's been hard to keep up with it when they're having hearings throughout the day. But again, that whole connecting thread of this insanity with this great replacement theory really illustrates what the fuck that was all about.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I have been doing since we have been on hiatus, and this is free advertising, but I will gladly plug Mike Duncan's Revolutions podcast, which he's been doing for almost a decade now. But it's a podcast that covers several different revolutions, including the English Revolution, the French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Mexican Revolution, Russian Revolution, which is the last one he's doing, and we're on episode 103 or something like that, of just that series. But in any case, if you are interested in what the hell is going on, it's really enlightening and kind of illustrates the way that
revolutions happen
and governments fall apart. And I don't necessarily know that I don't know. He tweeted out that in his perspective, all the revolutionary energy right now is on the right.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how that pans out. But I don't know. I spend a probably too significant amount of time on TikTok.
She admitted it. I heard it here first.
I do. I know I do. But, you know, there's a lot of people, just normal, everyday, average citizens going, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not okay with the status quo. We need to completely overhaul everything.
Well, I hope this starts to energize the younger people. I really do.
Gen Z's not fucking around.
But half of the Gen Z that I know don't even vote. Because they got so discouraged with, us ending up with Biden.
Well, yeah.
And the machine.
Here's the thing. It is easy on the one hand for Gen Z to wind up being apathetic the way Gen X wound up being. The difference is, we're not in the middle of the 90s, where everything was kind of just okay, and it's there were some upheavals, and there was a riot in LA, but most everybody said, shrugged, and moved on.
I hope you're right.
It's everybody seeing what's happening all the time, constantly, and it's the overwhelming nature of what's going on prevents you from ignoring it. Whether or not you become overwhelmed, and check out.
I think that's the danger, is that people check out because it's just so much coming at you at once.
And
I think that's why they do it this way.
I know. Yeah, exactly.
SCOTUS dumped all this stuff all at once and did it, a lot of it during the January 6th hearings and stuff like that, because they're hoping that you're not looking.
What my hope is that enough people are enraged to the point that they will drag along everybody who's starting to feel apathetic, because the desperation of the moment will keep you from being apathetic. The way things are working, it's not a tenable situation. And it's not just the madness of politics and everything that's getting headlines with the Supreme Court. But just your everyday life is just completely...
Everything costs $1 billion.
Yeah. And everybody, and people are like, it's all Biden's fault that gas is so high. No, it's not.
You have any idea how much gas is in Europe right now?
Literally, the price of a barrel of oil is about the same as it was in the mid-aughts.
It's just that the corporations are more greedy about it.
They're jacking up the prices.
And they have zero legislation, zero regulation that says that they can't.
People think that this is, oh, it's all Biden's fault. I'm like, well, this isn't, it's not Biden's fault. This is happening in, like, Finland. Like, it's, right. This is happening over the entire globe. It's a global problem.
And it's because there's no regulation. There's nothing that says that these people can.
No. They just do what they want.
And it got worse with the orange clown, but I mean, but nobody's reining it in either. No. Nobody, now that he's out of power, nobody's trying to do anything to fix it because everybody needs their money.
And that is part of the problem about politicians is that whatever their social political persuasion, the economics of politics, especially in America, is very corporate, very capitalist, and very much invested in protecting those interests. Mm-hmm. And not in whether or not you have enough money to buy a gallon of milk or, you know, buy baby formula.
Yeah. Or even have baby formula. I mean, you know, because there's like a giant shortage of baby formula.
And this is a situation wherein I see a lot of young people in their rage and or apathy just going, fuck it. Because this quote unquote great resignation that's been happening. I mean, unemployment's really low right now. Well, unemployment as reported is really low right now, which also might be that people just said, I've run out of unemployment.
And
they just fallen off the rolls.
Mm-hmm.
But people are just going, fuck this corporate job and going and doing something else. They're not interested in going and spending every day being abused. And
it's not even necessarily fuck the corporate jobs. Like, it's a lot of service industry stuff, too, because people are terrible.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the thing is, like, if you have a job and it's just soul-sucking, I think a lot of people are just like, fuck it. I'm not doing this anymore. And they'll go do something else. And they're not going to sit around and just take it anymore. So, I mean, part of the issue with the supply chain is that people are just not necessarily there to do the work.
Right.
Because they're not willing to go and get taken advantage of.
Right.
For, you know, 8, 10, however many hours a day of their life.
And, you know, again, nothing is getting fixed because, you know, the government could legislate this. The government can legislate wage stuff, can legislate paid sick time, can legislate vacation time.
And they just won't. They just sit on their asses. And the thing is, they keep saying, oh, well, you know, you have to fight for us. This is the most important election of our lifetime, every single election cycle. And then they don't do anything.
Right.
I've been voting since 2002. I've been voting since I turned 18. It hasn't fixed it by me voting consistently every single time for 20 years. And the only way to get out of this is to make the system work for us.
And don't think that that's not part of the thought process on the right, too. They don't have to disenfranchise everybody if they just discourage them enough.
Mm-hmm. If you just ice everybody out, then you remove their power.
Right.
And they won't pass any legislation. They won't pass legislation on... Well, here's the thing. I will say, the right is very active in some areas.
Uh-huh.
Because, I mean, mm-hmm. they've been... How many anti-LGBT bills are we up to? And it's not July yet. It's like 300-something.
Mm-hmm. Across the country, yeah.
It's like, yeah, Texas is like, we're just going to take your kids away if you let them be trans. Florida's like, hey, you know what? Don't even discuss it in schools. And actually, right now, they're just trying to go, hey, you know what? If you have Medicare or Medicaid through Florida, you can't have HRT. We're going to try to ban that for everybody, too. Like, Ohio has an anti-sports bill for one transgender athlete in high school, in the entirety of the state, who actually, no shade to her, is not that impressive of an athlete. It's just a normal, like, kit. Part of it is the politics of fear and making socially conservative people panicky and go, oh, they're out to get your kids or they're grooming your children, which is the most, like, loaded fascist rhetoric I've heard in a long time. Same thing the Nazis said. Same kind of fear-mongering they did after the Civil War. It's like, oh, all these black people are going to take your wives and hurt your kids. Like,
it's an old playbook.
Oh, I know they're Nazis.
So.
And I have no qualms of calling them Nazis. The pearl clutching of a lot of liberals and people in the center of politics of going, oh, well, we can't call people names. Shut the fuck up.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. And you have to.
I just did.
You don't call
I'll do it again.
If you don't call it what it is.
This is then how the Nazis gain power.
That's how they gain power. If you keep appeasing, then you're not going to stop them from doing what they want.
Yeah, so it's the paradox of tolerance. Have we heard of this?
Oh,
right?
Yes.
So, Karl Popper, who is a philosopher, talks about you want a tolerant society. So does that mean that you have to tolerate hate or immoral or
intolerance?
And the paradox of tolerance is that if a society is tolerant without limit, its ability to be tolerant is eventually seized or destroyed by the intolerant.
Yeah.
So in order for to maintain a tolerant society, the society must retain the right to be intolerant to intolerance.
Well, and that's why, you know, you have idiots like Insurrection Maggie screaming that protesters this week are having an insurrection because they're protesting. I'm like, it's not the same thing. Nobody has broken into the Capitol. Nobody has tried to overthrow a governmental function. People are protesting.
Right.
That's not the same thing. Mm-mm. But, you know, if you say it enough and you repeat it enough, then people will just get confused and go, oh, well, I guess they're the same thing. And it's not. It's not how it works. And kind of the point of all of this legislation and rhetoric about LGBT issues is to just obfuscate what they're doing and act as if, you know, we're some sort of predators when we're just people who are minding our own fucking business. We started this off talking about Roe. You know, a lot of TERFs have been awfully fucking quiet about Roe, which, I mean, is weird because they're hyper-feminists, right?
No, they're not.
I said this the other day, everybody that is surprised by what happened on Friday, the most surprising thing about that is that people are surprised because black people have been telling you, queer people have been telling you for a while what's going on. And
nobody cares until it happens to them.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, it's that old thing, you know, I didn't speak out in this instance, in that instance, blah, blah, blah. And then when
they came for me, nobody was around.
And that's kind of what's happening. I mean, as far as what's going on with the anti-LGBT stuff, we're, like, well into the midst of a genocide. And people hear that word and their immediate thought is like, oh, well, this is the Holocaust and you're being hyperbolic. The thing is, it doesn't start with just going around and like, tossing people in gas chambers.
Right.
There's stages. There's 10 stages of genocide. There's classification, symbolization, discrimination, dehumanization, organization, polarization, preparation, persecution, and then extermination.
So wait a minute. We're away from the end?
We're somewhere between like 5 and 8, depending on which way you look at it, because I mean, when you start talking about them ripping kids, trans kids away from their families, that's persecution, because part of the persecution is separating people out from the group, especially children. And, you know, that's why they're going and sending Proud Boys to events where drag queens are just reading storybooks in a library to kids. You know, when you want to talk about being organized, that's what, you know, the 31 Yahoos in a U-Haul truck on their way to start a riot at Idaho Pride Parade was about. That's organization.
In Idaho, no less.
And none of them were from Idaho, which is cute. But, like, it's... And people think, oh, this is just a random thing. Like, no, there were politicians that were, like, ginning them up to go do it. They did.
To be honest, I'm more surprised that there's a pride event in Idaho than that there were 31 people in a U-Haul trying to, you know, start a riot at it.
Everybody's always surprised, but there's just like we're in a conservative part of New Jersey, there's liberal parts of other states, and where that pride parade was, it was like, it's like right next to like the Washington border. So it's like, it's a little more blue over there in that area, but like the ultimate goal of a lot of people, and when you say this again, people think you're being conspiratorial and, you know, putting up red strings on a board in your room somewhere. They want to kill us and kill us. You don't even need to go and, like, do it yourselves. If you just make people's lives so unbearable that they can't be themselves, they can't live authentically, they can't get the medical care they need.
You drive people to suicide.
You drive people to suicide. Or you ostracize them to the point that other people are just like, it's okay to kill them. When you have people like Dave Chappelle, you know, having super popular Netflix specials where he spends 40 plus minutes shitting on trans people, that's not him making jokes. That's him putting forward an agenda. But, you know, well, it's Dave Chappelle, so clearly he's, you know.
He's reinforcing the dehumanization and the discrimination.
Exactly. And people who you think are liberal, people who you think are on the left, are not immune to the right-wing rhetoric at all. There's a lot of queer people who are fucking racist. There's a lot of people of color who are fucking homophobic. And unless we figure out how to excise that shit from each of our groups and work together, we're not going to get shit done.
Thanks again for listening to the show.
If you like what you hear so far, subscribe so you never miss an episode. Also, be sure to share with your friends and family so they can enjoy as well.
This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support.
And again, one of the things that the court did, which is just great, is, you know, when they eliminated the regulations prohibiting concealed carry, they just made it a lot easier for people to just be wandering around with guns and want to hurt you if they're so inclined. Hell, wasn't there like somebody like shot up a subway over the weekend because they had too much mayonnaise or some shit? Like,
yes, someone was killed at a subway outside of Atlanta, at a subway sub shop outside of Atlanta, because the guy had too much mayonnaise, so he killed the 24-year-old.
Cool, that's,
yeah. But you know, let's just talk about, there's a lot of shootings. That doesn't count, because that was only one person that got shot.
Yes, that's not a mass shooting. That's just somebody getting
shot. But let's talk about mass shootings, because we're in, what, the end of June now?
Mm-hmm. What constitutes a mass shooting?
So a mass shooting, in the statistics that I'm using, mm-hmm. constitutes 4 or more people, not including the suspect.
Right, okay.
Being shot. Now they're mm-hmm. talking about shootings. Mm-hmm. So far this year, there's been 293 mass shootings with 1,114 casualties. Of those mass shootings,
Jesus Christ,
there have been 12 mass killings, which means that 4 or more people were killed, not including the suspect. And a total of 308 people killed. And 24 of those mass shootings were school shootings.
You know what's the most sickening part of that? Is that you said there were have been 293 individual incidents. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're in day 179.
So it's more than one a day.
Yeah.
It's almost two a day.
Christ almighty. On my Facebook memories, something came up the other day that was something I shared in 2019 about, you know, the kids being in the cages in 2018, which is like the way that we operate in this country is that we slide into fascism and a decline of democracy because we just adjust. We're hit with a shock, we adjust, and then we're shocked again. So we have a shooting, and then, you know, we get thoughts and prayers, and, you know, people a little more on the left are like, oh, we should have legislation, and then nothing really much happens. Now, they just passed some legislation in Congress, but it's not going to stop this from happening. And we just adjust, everything goes back to normal, until it happens again.
Yes. Every time something like this happens, I go, they have to do something now. Like, they have to. They have to. And then it just goes away. And then you can't even find anything. Like, the other day I was looking up stuff and I was trying to find, you know, what has happened to the people that they've arrested for some of these things. Mm-hmm. You know, what have they found out? What's going on? You know, and you can't, it's just gone. You can't find anything about it. No information.
They stop talking about it.
They cover it for like 1 second and then they're just like nothing.
I mean, I will say the asshole in Buffalo who, again, had a bunch of stuff about LGBT people on his gun, on his manifesto, was talking about white replacement theory. So
White replacement theory.
Again, mm-hmm. it's all part of a whole. He, shockingly, actually did get hit with domestic terrorism charges and a bunch of other things. So...
Yeah, but good. Will they stick?
I think in this instance they will, but it's like, oh, yeah, that's a thing. Oh, they actually charge him? Cool. Okay.
Yeah, but it's an 18-year-old white kid, and they will...
Yes, he's a kid. I'm not saying that, you know, disparagingly to you, but that's just how they...
They'll say, but he's got such a bright future mm-hmm. ahead of him. Aww. Just like they do with all the rapists. Mm-hmm. We would hate for this to be on his permanent record.
Yeah. killing 10 people is be a fucking shame.
Yeah, like...
We don't want to ruin his life. I mean, fuck the people that he...
Yeah, and...
He unalived. Like, you know, they didn't have anything going on.
And we need that white male voter. So he can't be charged with a felony.
Well, as the congresswoman said, it's all about having victories for white life. And the thing is, when you start talking like this, when you start saying shit like this, and, you know, people in the room are like, oh, you're a racist. You're a reverse racist. Like, nah, just because people are doing racist shit and you point it out, doesn't mean that you pointing it out is in itself racist. Like,
No. It's just that my bullshit meter is going off. Everything is depressing.
Yes. And the shock adjust shock thing, it's not just the shootings, it's everything.
Yeah.
It's the everything that we're talking about where it's just overwhelming.
Next week we won't be talking about Roe.
No.
Because they will have done something more horrible that will overwhelm it, and then we will start over, like, and then we'll start the process again.
I'm waiting to see, because there is one case that's coming up about the EPA and EPA regulations. The argument being that, you know, executive agencies don't have the ability to actually regulate things, and if that's the case, then
the government just
stops working, yeah. Like altogether, like, which is what they want.
Which they want to make it so that, like, the Supreme Court makes all the rules. I guess I don't know.
It is overwhelming. It is depressing. And again, then you're like, well, what do we do?
Yes. What's a queer to do?
What's anybody to do? But yeah.
I mean, well, the queers are listening to us right now.
This is true. Hi.
But, I mean, well, you can take the route of some celebrities and say, fuck it, I'm out.
You know, people were, like, dogging on Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day. I'm like, listen, dude's from Canada. He's just going home. He's fuck this shit.
He's got another place to go.
This place sucks. Like, I don't blame him.
No.
But again, he's got the privilege to do that. He has the money to do that. good for him, but...
But for those of us who don't have that option, mm-hmm. we got no place else to go. I mean, I think first and foremost, like, don't look away.
No,
like,
absolutely not.
It sucks, and it's hard, and, like, I'm not saying at the detriment of your mental health. Like, please give yourself a break if your mental health requires it.
Yeah.
But don't just decide that it's better to be ignorant because it might be upsetting. Like, you've got to keep your eye on what's going on, because as soon as you look away, something else gets pulled out from under you.
Taking a mental health break is the equivalent of eating and sleeping. Yeah, you got to take care of yourself, but then you got to get back to work.
I mean, unless you're part of the Great Resignation and
yes, well, that's a thing.
To check out, which is okay.
Which means you have more time to be an activist. So go do. You know, a couple of my friends were in New York for Pride this weekend. And I saw somebody else crying in their car and talking about how, like, she couldn't even bring herself to go because what is there to celebrate? And, you know, yes, I mean, always we should be celebrating ourselves and that we're here. But, yeah, it does kind of feel like, yeah, this is the last time we get to celebrate for a while because we have to go back to fighting again. And, you know, it's hard because it really is very much feels like nobody's coming to save us.
Yeah.
And so we've got to do it ourselves.
Yeah. And the whole, you know, we say over and over again, you know, contact your legislators, vote, and mm-hmm. all that stuff. And nothing ever happens. But don't stop.
Yeah, that's the thing. Stopping is not an option.
If you stop doing that and you take the pressure off, mm-hmm. it's even worse.
The thing is, you can't just do that and then walk away. You can't just show up in, like, November, not even necessarily the midterms, just, like, every 4 years and go, this will fix it.
It won't fix it.
You got to go vote in the midterms. You got to vote in November for Congress. You have to vote in the primaries so that you actually get people in office who have some fight in them.
Yes.
And aren't just there to have a career and get, you know, corporate backing. Because that's another thing that the Supreme Court got rid of a couple weeks ago. I forgot about that. Where they're just like, yeah, so Dodd-Frank is gone. And so, you know, corporate donations are free speech. So, but also boycotting is not free speech. So corporate money is free speech, but our money isn't. Make it make sense.
They don't like us.
Yeah. They can do what they want, and you have to do what they tell you. That's how it works. It doesn't make sense.
Capitalism.
But they're not trying to make sense. It's about power. It's not about being intellectually consistent.
So, guillotines?
Listen. I'm not saying that. I'm not promoting that. That's terrifying.
No, I'm just saying that.
Listen.
Historically.
The French Revolution was bloody and violent and... not something to be promoting. I will say, though, on Saturday, was it even Saturday or was it Friday? I'm scrolling through my TikTok and on my FYP, there's somebody literally building a guillotine. I'm like, oh, shit, they're not fucking around. He says it was for science, but I'm surprised it didn't get taken down. But
why? It's a historical piece. Like, people build trebuchets all the time.
Yeah.
It's part of history.
Maybe we should start using trebuchets and just chucking them at politicians.
Maybe we should start chucking politicians with the trebuchets.
Oh, we're going to end up on a watch list. I'm probably already on a watch list. My post this morning got flagged for sensitive content. It's literally just two pictures of me fully dressed, like, and, like, basically a close-up of my face. And they're like, and people are like, why does this have a sensitivity filter on it? And I'm like, I guess I made it to the watch list. Like, I don't know. But
I'm not advocating using guillotines. I'm just saying historically in this situation, guillotines would have been used.
No, not yet. Listen, go listen to that podcast that I was telling about. Like, it takes a minute. But once it starts getting rolling, then it gets rolling very fast. And you want to avoid that before you get to that point.
You need preparation.
You know, using the French Revolution as an analog, they had lots of time to pause, go back, listen, adjust, and actually try to address the needs of the people. And even when it seemed like they were doing that, then they're like, just kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. like, you can't tell us what to do. And then until they didn't have a head anymore. It's
like what's happening now.
I said it's analog. We're still in the you have an opportunity to listen phase, and the thing is, like, people are
we though?
I don't know. And the thing is, like, you know, people joke about guillotines and stuff like that, but there's people on the right who are just like, yeah,
they wanted to hang Mike Pence.
They wanted to hang Mike Pence because he didn't do what Trump said.
And Nancy Pelosi, like, they're not fucking around. Well, we're fucking around over here. They're not at all. And they have been prepping.
And that's the thing about the Democratic Party. Them constantly going, my friend on the other side of the aisle. My friends. Okay, if you're all friends, get the fuck out. Because we need people who are not friendly with these fucking people. Because they're trying to destroy our country.
You shouldn't be friends with these people. I've spent a lot of time, you know, in the last couple of days going, oh, you're not mad about Roe? Get the fuck off my page.
No, we cannot agree to disagree.
No.
We can agree.
Not when it comes to human rights.
We can disagree on opinions. Yes. How should we go about raising taxes and financing programs? That's something to have a difference of opinion on. That's fine. That's politics. That's legislating. Absolutely not a problem with that whatsoever. Human rights are not up for debate.
Yeah.
And the fact that that's what we're fighting for, that's what we're working with, that's what the conversation is a problem. Because this isn't normal.
No.
So don't pretend that it is. I had so many people saying, like, they just expect me to just go to work on Friday, like nothing happened this morning. I saw a TikTok with one girl who was just like, okay, and literally put on her, like, mascot helmet because she works at Chuck E. Cheese. And she's like, how the fuck am I, like, this is what I'm supposed to do. Meanwhile, like, you know, my rights are getting taken away from me. But, you know, happy birthday, kids. Like,
yeah,
we are not living through normal times, and
we're supposed to go
trying to pretend that we are is in, yeah,
this weekend,
you know. And what do you do? You protest. The protest turns into a riot. Those things happen. I'm not gonna, you know, say go riot, but, you know, as Dr. King said, riots are the language of the unheard.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's listening anymore. But we have to do it together. Because, you know, excising queer people from this conversation is not okay. Because Roe isn't a women's issue. It's an issue for reproductive rights. And that means non-binary people. That means trans men. And I understand that it's cathartic. Everybody that is posting, like, oh, well, if you're going to take away Roe, then I think that we should have mandatory vasectomies. No, that doesn't, as a mother with the parts in question, that doesn't help anything. That's not constructive. I know it feels good to scream that, but.
But no, this is about everyone's bodily autonomy. Everybody gets bodily autonomy.
You know, if you're not fighting for, if you're just joining the fight now, welcome, where you been? Because, you know, queer people and people of color have been dealing with this shit for years. The bodily autonomy of those other groups have been being violated for a while. But nobody's been listening. Mm-hmm. And if you're not including those groups in your protests, in your planning, then you're fucking up. And if we don't do this together, it's not going to get done.
And I think that is the issue on our side, why things don't get done. Because the right and the far right are a much more homogenous group.
Yes. Yes. Being diverse. You have your Clarence Thomases over there.
Yeah.
But, you know, going back to what you were saying about loving, like, yeah. Yeah, he didn't say anything about loving being up for debate. Other people have. And when you have people over there saying, you know, that we should bring back HUAC and have trials for queer people because being gay or being trans is un-American and we should execute people for that. That's what's going on over there. So having diversity issues when that's what you're fighting is something you gotta fucking suss out quick.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't help anything.
And to that point, some of this symbolism being used right now, however well-intentioned it may seem, is exclusionary its face.
I found myself in a fight, which I'm sorry. I'm a fighty kind of person. But
shocker.
Yeah. Somebody else brought it up. It wasn't me. But, you know, a local group is trying to organize a protest in the next couple of weeks. And literally the protest announcement was like, bring your handmade costumes. And somebody was like, yeah, you know, like, there's a lot of problems with racism with the Handmaid's Tale. And it's really appropriate of the shit that's already happened to black people in this country. And a lot of people who are black have a problem with that. And it really feels exclusionary when you're wearing Handmaid's costumes. And also, Margaret Atwood's kind of a fucking transphobe. So it's really not being inclusive to do that. And the person who posted about it was just like, well, nobody else had a problem with it last time. Nobody said anything. I'm like, yeah, well, you're being told now. And it's...
Yeah, and the proper response is, oh, I wasn't aware of that. My bad. Not, nobody else told me about it, so it can't be a problem.
We have to get
so
over
you have the problem.
Our fragility.
Yeah.
And start listening to each other, because nobody else is listening. And if you're not fighting for everybody, you're fighting for the people that you're trying to stop. And you're just doing that work for them.
I mean, at the same time, I would say, you know, if people are genuinely don't know the issue surrounding the handmade costume and things like that, you know, it is right and proper to educate them. But you also don't want to exclude those people that don't maybe understand.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, like, when you're given correction, you take the note and you do better next time.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that you double down and have a hissy fit about it.
I'm just saying I want the intersectionality to work all ways.
Yes.
You know.
Absolutely.
And the communication.
Yeah. I am sitting back and anticipating further extreme violence. And that's the thing about this. Things are normal a lot of the time. We go about your everyday life. And then there's a couple of days where there's like bouts of like extreme violence. It happened 2 years ago with the Black Lives Matter protests. It happened during January 6th. It happens with Proud Boys showing up or trying to show up at Pride Parade. And then, you know, the next couple of days, the next few weeks, the next month, it seems normal.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to know that we're not dealing with normal. And you have to get creative with how you fight back. one thing that was not on my 2022 bingo card was SCOTUS getting doxxed. And they did that quick. They, and I've got conflicting feelings about doxxing people, but like, they put out their home addresses, they put out their IP addresses and their credit card numbers over the weekend.
Well, it's illegal and wrong, but
that, unfortunately, that's the thing. It's like, What is legal?
Let me just go,
what is legal and what is wrong?
Let me just go on record
as
saying, you know, I'm not advocating anybody, you know, showing up with a gun at Brett Kavanaugh's house.
That's, no.
That happened.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just be clear about that. But...
though to be fair, that guy was having mental health issues and he
was
just,
having mental health issues.
He called the cops on himself. Like,
yes.
Please come stop me. I'm thinking about doing a thing. And they did. And, you know, they took him away. And everything went back to normal.
And for once, cops did their job.
Yeah, every once in a while. Broken clock is right twice a day. You know, there have been people saying general strike. You know, they've been saying, you know, to fuck up the 4th of July, mess up the economy. Because money is where it's at and that's what they care about. Those are options.
The problem with the general strike is that is getting participation because there are so many people with their backs against the wall. That don't
I know.
Like they can, you know.
I know.
live through that.
And it's...
And that's what they want. They want people living with their backs against the wall so that they can't do that.
Which is, again, they're not good students of history. Because doing that is how you get people to be desperate, and desperate people do desperate shit.
Yeah, but there's not enough people that are rock bottom desperate that don't have anything to lose
yet.
Yeah.
I will say this. Whatever you're doing, whatever way you're thinking of, even if it's just like, I'm going to protest, be quiet about it. You got to operate like you're doing a drug deal. If you're going to assist people that are in states where it's now illegal to get an abortion, go somewhere else to get their health care taken care of, shut the fuck up. It's the same thing as, like, you know, you see somebody stealing food in a grocery store. No, you didn't. Somebody got abortion? I didn't see that. I don't know anything about that. You have to not advertise what the fuck you're doing, and that's where we are right now. We're at the point where we're smuggling people out of states where they're being oppressed. That's the stage we're at again.
And we have to operate like the underground.
Yeah. Which is terrifying. It's demoralizing. But this is where we find ourselves. And I will say this. I would advocate it to everyone, but especially if you're in any of the states that has now made it illegal, delete your fucking period apps. Delete them now. Because don't talk about, you know, I'm going to the gynecologist. Oh, here's what's going on with me. Be quiet. If you have any other health tracking apps, consider getting rid of them too, because they will sell your data. If you read your terms of service, that's not protected. So when they start questioning you about where you're going, why you're traveling out of state, I don't know if you saw what the health guidelines for hospitals is in Texas. It's got shit on there that has nothing to do with being pregnant. Like, that they're looking at to just see what your fertility is right now. Because it's about making babies and forcing you to do so. If you are a cis guy that is single, maybe download a period app. Start tracking your workouts or some shit. You know, using it in a way that somebody who doesn't have a period would not understand how to do. Make the data not serviceable. But, you know, you need to go analog and not have so much of your digital life out there for people to scrutinize and figure out what the fuck you're doing.
I can't believe we have to
say that.
And I really
it's dystopian. We're in the dystopia now. The thing about the dystopia is you don't realize that it's happening until you're already in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And it seems normal until the abnormal shit becomes very apparent.
Yes.
But, I mean, the more than anything, it persists.
Yeah.
You got to keep going.
Just keep going. It's demoralizing, and it's, you know, not easy, and we might not see progress immediately, and it might take a long, long time.
It took a generation for them to undo Roe.
To see progress, but, you know, if we keep going and we can get there,
mm-hmm.
and if you're a parent, raise children.
Yeah.
Who understand what they should expect.
Mm-hmm.
Not what they have, but what they should have.
Yeah.
Raise activists now. Don't wait until they're 18 and then sit down and talk to them about whether they want to vote or not. Mm-hmm. Like, start now.
I will tell you, again, I know you, like, are kind of, like, not as jazzed as I am about what I see out of, like, Gen Z. You know who I see really, like, fighting back? Like, 17-year-olds. Mm-hmm. Not like the ones that are, like, you know, Xennials. Not the people that are just shy of being, you know, broken millennials like we are. But, like, the ones who are like still teenagers, like that's where I hear people saying fuck up the economy. Like they're thinking out of the box because they're scrappy and they're young. And that's the kind of energy we need to foster and we need to encourage.
Yes.
It's, you know, I sort of say it took them a generation to get rid of Roe. It's going to take time to shore things up and get back to where we should be or overhaul the system to something that is better. It's not going to happen overnight. You're going to get tired. You're going to want to give up. You can't give up. We have to outlast the people that want to take your rights away.
Don't forget, a lot of them are going to die, hopefully yeah. soon.
I mean, they're, to be fair, there's a lot of younger people who are just as indoctrinated and crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to have to keep dealing with them, but, you know.
Yeah, but they don't have any money.
Yeah. But
they're crazy, but they don't have any money.
The thing that I'm hopeful
Koch about. Koch brothers have to die soon.
The thing I'm hopeful about is that political power right now is very much vested in boomers, in people who are getting very old and are not invested in our future.
Yes. And that's not to say all boomers. There are some boomers who are on our side.
Again, check your fragility and listen. But they're heading out. They're old. So it's a matter of wresting power away from them and giving it to people who are young and are going to be here for a while and are fighting for their futures.
Right.
And that's not going to be easy, but that's what we got to do.
Yeah, and if you have a young activist in your community, by all means, encourage them. Don't exclude mm-hmm. them. Don't say, you know, you're young, you're naive, mm-hmm. you're like all of those things that normally grown-ups say to children.
I always hated that.
But listen, they're the ones that are in the schools dying, okay? Yeah. So listen up. If they have ideas, let's hear them
mm-hmm.
and let's support them. Because I will say on one final note, tomorrow
yeah,
we're going to a Pride event
mm-hmm.
for the first time in our very close, in the neighboring town, very, very close to us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all the work of one high schooler.
I think he might have graduated now, but
he's been working on it
in the past couple of years.
For the past few years and advocating for it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be a Pride event.
Yeah.
In a very, very red place. And so, you know, they can get things done. They can get more done than we think, especially if we're, you know, backing them up.
You know, it's funny. Speaking of Pride, well, first of all, Stonewall was a riot.
Yes. But I have a sticker that says
But
that.
Most of the people that were there were like, some of them were 18 or older. A lot of them weren't. A lot of them were teenagers or people in their 20s out there throwing bricks at cops to stop them from having their rights abused. So maybe, you know, the young people have something to say.
Yeah. And also encourage them to vote.
Yes.
Well, I'm sorry that this was a depressing episode.
But I mean, but you got to hear from us, so that should make you feel a little better.
We're still alive.
Mm-hmm.
The munchkin is still good.
Munchkin's crazy.
She's a little crazy.
Yeah. That's fun. She's supposed to be crazy at this age.
And
we need more crazy.
Yes. Yes. Actually, I just send her to SCOTUS for, you know, a day. She'd just wreck everything.
Oh, she'll sort their asses out quick. Yeah.
So, hopefully we'll do another one of these soon, you know, yes. depending on how life goes. And thanks for listening.
My name is Shannon.
I'm Rachel.
And this has been another delightful episode of Our Life in Transition.
Bye.
Toodles.
Thank you again for listening to Our Life in Transition.
This show is hosted by Rachel and Shannon McDill.
Our producer and editor is Shannon McDill.
Our theme music is Seize the Day by Jens Kilsoft.
Support us on Patreon at patreon.com/olitpod. That's /OLITPOD.
Your support makes this show possible. Thank you.
Pause for a second. I'm going to look something up.
Sure. Muffin. This is the problem with muffins. I always do this with muffins. I like eat muffin and then like the point where it's falling apart.
Mm-hmm. Muffins. Oh.